Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast with me, Dr. Kylie. I want to invite you guys to come join in on our 10-day Beyond the Diagnosis Summit. It is launching August 17th. You can find the link to get inside below, but the first 100 people to register will get 50% off if you use code BeyondTheDiagnosis50, all one word, all lowercase. See you there. All right. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, mostly ladies, I'm assuming, but guys, if you're hanging out with us, that's cool too. What we have today is a special privilege coming all the way from Chicago, Illinois, Tara Atkinson. She is a mentor, coach, and mindset coach. She's going to help us walk us through what shifts have to take place between our ears in order for the rest of the physical symptoms to go away, and give us some tips and tricks on how to do that. Now, Tara has an incredible story. Her daughter plays a large role in it, and she's going to get into that more. But Western medicine has some answers. Guys, don't get me wrong. I love Western medicine. It is very pivotal. In fact, I always say, if you break your arm, I don't want anything to do with it. Go to the ER. I want to help you with chronic illnesses. Those illnesses that you always ask the questions why, and you don't ever quite get the right answer or a sufficient answer. If you're looking to get off your cocktail of medications, if you're looking to get off your cocktail of supplements, this is a great place to be. And it all starts here. So Tara's an excellent coach, excellent mindset coach. She's going to walk us through. Her and I worked together for many years before, many and multiple avenues before. And one, in fact, she's actually helped me shift my mindset in many ways through a program that I did with her. And basically what she wants to help you do, and what we're going to talk about on this, the next 30, 45 minutes, is she's going to help you get out of your own way. And that is so important. So Tara, welcome. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you. I am so honored to be here and excited to be able to come and just have a chat with you. I know that we've talked about it before so many times, and be able to bring some of this to your audience on your podcast. So do you want me to just kind of jump in, or what are we doing today?
Yeah, you know, tell a little bit about yourself. Give us a good background.
Well, you've done such a good job. Like, that is. So I am old enough to remember when cell phones first started being a thing, and when we had to actually use beepers and pagers, and you had to go find a payphone bank to make calls. So I have been around for quite a while. And yeah, so I have four daughters. My youngest was born with a lot of medical complexity, a lot of medical issues. And we kind of learned how to jump into the very highly complex world of having a medically fragile child with a metabolic disorder. So prior to that, it had been just kind of, you know, your garden variety family, three kids, three little girls, you know, we were just cruising right along. And then Kendall came, and we hit a massive road bump with life. And that was kind of what started this catalyst for myself, shifting out of just kind of feeling like I was stuck, like I was in my own way. So that's why I like to use that terminology. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that can be such a big part for so many people with where they're going in life, seeing that goal, but feeling like nothing you do is getting you to it. And that's because we're in our own way.
Yeah. I've got a patient who I can't do anything physically with her until she gets out of her own way in her head. I mean, she's had so many bad experiences taking supplements with negative reactions that she's terrified to try something else. So in fact, our last consult, I wouldn't let her get off until she tried the supplement that I'd recommended like a month ago. She still always had some excuse why she hasn't tried it yet. And just the thought of trying it threw her into an anxiety attack. And the way she handled that was by cigarette smoking, which she's done for the past 45 years since she was 12. So of course, while she's on the phone with me, she pulls out a cigarette. It is a big thing between the head. This is a big game.
It is. So it absolutely is.
Let's jump in.
Well, so I can start with, what is mindset? And I think that people, it's a word that people hear and think that they know, like, are you in the right frame of mind? Are you, you know, what's your mindset? Do you have a positive mindset? It's a word that we use almost every day, but so many of us don't stop and think about what does it mean? What is my mindset? How can I shift it? How can I use it for me? But basically, to define it, mindset is kind of the set of thoughts that is your framework for each day and for what happens to you on that day. So generally, people tend to have a positive mindset, or they can have one that is more negative. A negative mindset is not even like you're going around like being super negative, but it's if you're presented with a choice, it tends to come down to like, oh, I'd love that to happen, but that kind of stuff doesn't happen to me, or that only happens for other people. I always have that perpetual cloud of brain over my head.
The whole, yeah, but.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes, but is it can be somewhat of a negative mindset, because truly having more of a positive mindset and shifting into one, which is what I do with clients all the time, comes down to making a choice. It's choosing to see things, you know, the opposite side of the coin, if you will, from what we tend to just get stuck in a rut with. We kind of tend to be keyed to that negative mindset just based on our societal input, community input. If we aren't seeing people around us really go through massive success and massive, you know, changes, then we tend to get stuck in that same set of circumstances as well for ourselves. We don't think beyond what we see happening. So what I do with clients is really start helping them ask themselves the question, what if we could start learning to expect something new, something better? And to relate it back to what you do with clients, and we've talked about this before, is not what if I continue to get more and more diagnoses? What if I continue to just live in pain? What if I never am able to get pregnant? And shifting more into, okay, but what if you do? What would it feel like then? You know, what if you could go back and play with your grandkids in the backyard without arthritis pain? What if you could? And that tends to be kind of where we take some mindset stuff, is just a subtle question, a subtle shift. What if it could be different? Not what if really bad things happen, but it's more the positive. What if something good happens? We tend to not default to asking ourselves that question. And that's really where the work comes in.
Yeah, it's one, what I've discovered is that when people are sick, they only have one dream. And that dream is to feel better. And that's as far as it goes, because they don't actually believe deep down that they truly can feel better. So one of my big goals is to help them to start dreaming again, which is why in our Facebook tribe, it's called the Tribe of Dreamers. So we can get outside of that whole, I'm just going to feel better. And maybe they want to start traveling the world, or they want to have that third baby, or they want to lose the baby weight that they haven't been able to lose. Like, whatever the case may be, it's still just switching out of that mindset of, oh, I'm sick. It's always going to be this way. So I'm just going to have to deal with the terminal illness.
Yeah, absolutely. That is really kind of where I love taking my work with people too. And it starts with, do you mind if I jump into a little bit more of what my story is and how I got into this? It's kind of a long story, so I'm going to try to condense it down. But essentially, everything that you just said, I had gotten to this place where I didn't have those big dreams. And it was because every day it was just about, you know, I hope that I can get to sleep tonight, that we all survive the night, and that I get to wake up in the morning. Like, that was as big as the dream had gotten. And where I found myself after having gone through a somewhat unexpected and semi-sudden divorce, and getting to this place where now I'm a single mom and I have to come up with a way to be the breadwinner and the mom and the caretaker, and doing it with my youngest, who, just to explain a little bit more, now when I say medical complexity, she was in complete intestinal failure for most of her life. She had some function at birth, but we couldn't really figure out, why wasn't she gaining weight? Why couldn't she swallow? Why couldn't she hold her head up? Why couldn't she do any of the things that a normal baby development would lead her to do? And through going literally across the country to multiple specialists, just begging anyone, someone to please fix our kid because nothing we were trying was helping, she ended up having a central line inserted, which is just a permanent IV that goes right to her heart. We fed her via her veins because her gut wasn't working at all. With having an IV in all the time, a lot of other stuff in the body, as I'm sure you know, starts to go wrong because having a permanently implanted piece of plastic just tends to lend itself to a lot of chaos. And what was happening was she was getting constantly these blood infections. She was getting septic. And because we then found out through that, that there was no actual natural immune function, she, instead of fighting it, her body would just allow the blood infection to just run rampant in her body. And she would go into septic shock, end up on life support, end up needing even more new meds and new diagnoses and all this stuff. So this was our constant carousel in and out of the hospital. We would take her out because our goal was really to just be together as a family. And it was just too much. She really was requiring some hospital level care. But I kept thinking, if I can just get her home and love her enough and be around her sisters enough, we'll solve all these problems. That was what I really wanted to believe. But it eventually, I mean, obviously that can only work for a couple of months. So we just kept playing this hospital carousel where she would be in for a few weeks. We had an ICU room set up basically in her bedroom with a bunch of IV pumps, and we would run the IV antibiotics and just, you know, really doing anything we could and hoping, I kept hoping this infection will be it. You know, the next one, we're going to figure it out. The next trial immune medication that we can dump into her is going to be the one that solves it. And as I was trying so desperately to keep my child alive, my marriage was crumbling. And, you know, just as it happens, when you aren't focused on your husband or your family, and you get distracted by some of those things, and I had to, right? I mean, like, I had to keep my kid alive. But that was what happened. The family fell apart. I ended up being a single mom. Kendall didn't get magically better just because the divorce happened. It was still the hospital stays, and I couldn't hold down a regular job because I was constantly in the hospital. So I found myself one day, trying to condense the story down, one day I was driving down a very snowy road in Chicago. We get random snowstorms. They don't happen, I think, like in Utah, where you can see when it's coming and it's a lot of snow. We could have either just flurries, it could just turn into ice, it could be all of the above, we could get 2 feet of snow. So I'm driving down a road and we were getting just dumped on. It was the freeway. And I was stressed out. It was right around Christmas time. I had just put Christmas onto a credit card that I could not afford to pay off for the kids. But it was our first Christmas post-divorce. And I was determined that I was going to make this a good Christmas for my kids. And my car had been having some issues, and it all of a sudden just stalled out. Middle of the freeway, there's snow on either side. You could barely see anything. And coming up behind me is a huge semi truck, and it had nowhere to go. And my car would not start. I couldn't move it. I didn't have enough time to get out and try to push it off. And I just knew we were goners. And I turned around and I made all of my babies hold my hands. And I said, "You guys, look at me. Look at me. We're going to be okay. I love you." And I was just trying to tell them, like, my final words to them, because I knew chances are very good some of us are not going to either survive this crash, or if we do, we're going to be in comas. It was that kind of a situation. And at the last minute, they're screaming, I'm praying, the truck somehow by some miracle scrapes by us, and the car's shaking back and forth. And I just sat there, and it was just dead silence. And I finally was able to jiggle the ignition or something, and I got the car started, and we were able to go down the road and finish doing what we were doing. We were going to pick up a wheelchair for my kid because she couldn't walk very well at that time. We made it back home and there was no heat in the house. The heater was broken. Just what I needed on top of all of this other stuff. And that night we were staying at a neighbor's house because there was no heat and it was about 32 degrees in the house. It was freezing cold here. And Kendall gets sick again. She's septic. And I'm following the ambulance tracks through the snow because it had not stopped snowing. And I was just praying, God, when is this going to end? When am I going to have something good happen in my life? Like, how much more can we handle of this? And just tears just rolling down my face. And that was kind of my rock bottom moment. And I just didn't know how much more we could handle. And I got Kendall settled at the hospital. I had to come back home for my other babies. And I went to the Home Depot to get something that we needed for the heater. And I saw this sign there, and the sign said, good things are going to happen. And it really was out of place for being at a Home Depot type of store. And I picked it up and I'm like, this is for me. This sign is for me. And I didn't have enough money to buy it, but I ended up being able to be like, okay, if I only get part of this and I get part of this, I can get this sign. It was like $10. It was not expensive, but I got the sign and I took it home and I put it up in my front walkway, entryway. And I would walk by that sign and I would read it just because it was there, right? You know how sometimes you walk by things and you hear that message, you see that message. And every day, multiple times a day, I would be reading this to myself, good things are going to happen. And some days I was like, yeah, sure, good things are going to happen. You know, you stop believing it, but I still repeated it to myself every time I walked by it, good things are going to happen. And some days it became more like this gritted teeth, like determined, like good things are going to happen today. If it's the last thing I do, good things are going to happen. And from that moment on, good things started to happen. And as I was analyzing this, as I was rebuilding my business consulting for small businesses, I started to look back at why. Why did things change? And I started to put the pieces together and realized it was because my mindset changed. When I started looking for good things to happen, I started seeing more good things. And that is really what all of my work, all of my courses, all of my client breakthroughs come down to. What are you looking for to happen? That's that mindset shift. Are you looking for the other shoe to always be dropping? Because it will drop. Or are you ready to say, there's no more shoes hanging above my head. I'm moving on. Good things are going to happen. So that's how we got to where we're at today.
Well, I was holding back tears during that. I have a 2-month-old baby and I can't imagine what it would be like to see her on my V-tube. And you know, you go into labor thinking you're going to have this baby. You're going to come out holding this baby. You're going to be able to nurse her and take her home and celebrate. And that's not what your experience was.
No, not at all. And I had had that with my older three. I call myself kind of a little hippie granola. I had a midwife attended birth for the other three. They were born very healthy, you know, put right onto my chest, nursing within a few minutes, all of that. You're right. That like that, what you expect. And then Kendall was born and they immediately took her away. And I didn't even know what had happened for a while. She had caused a lot of trauma to my uterus on her way out just because it was a pretty traumatic, like quick birth. It was like 36 hours of labor and then this like 5-minute birth. And so I was feeling like just a complete piece of garbage because I was in so much pain. And I didn't even find out like where they had taken her or what was going on for a solid like 5 or 6 hours. I kept being like, where's Kendall? Where's Kendall? And they're checking her. And yeah, just from that moment on, life has never been anything resembling what it was prior to that with that normalcy. And it is hard. It is very hard to sit there and hold a tiny little place of your baby's hand because there's literally tubes and wires everywhere. And just to know like she's still there in spite of the fact that she can't laugh, she can't move her eyes, you know, like she's in a medically induced coma, my baby is still there. It's been a very tough journey through that for sure.
But walk us through where she is now, because I know now she's what, 11 years old?
She is 11 and a half years old, going into middle school this year, which is just crazy to think of, because we were told when she was 5 years old, after a particularly harrowing experience with another sepsis, basically, you need to take her on her Make-A-Wish trip now. We don't think she's going to make it to Christmas. And that was in July. And again, this is kind of part of where my mindset shift started to happen. I said, she's going to make it to Christmas. She's going to be okay because I am believing in this for her. Like, we are going to fix her. If you don't have the answers, I will find them. That was just my mama bear instinct. And she has, sure enough, come right up to that line of, is this going to be it? Multiple times from that point. But she has been doing really well. We were able to rehabilitate her gut a little bit using a mixture of a blended formula that finally her gut started to accept, and really just a whole lot of figuring out what works for her body instead of trying to have Western medicine kind of shovel it in. But we needed them a little bit. So we've kind of found this balance of that wisdom of Western medicine, as well as the wisdom of what your body is designed to do.
Well, I love and that it's personal to her, what her body needs. A lot of people will say, well, what's functional medicine? It's all it is personal medicine. It's figuring
absolutely
out what your body needs, not giving it a blanket term and then handing you over a pill.
Absolutely. And that's where, like, you and I have discussed some of those supplements a lot, because at the basis of everything that's happening is the mitochondria in each cell. And given that that's her diagnosis is mitochondrial disease, figuring out what is going to help these cells work again, what can we do? And I love that you put that as personal medicine. That is totally, totally how it is. And kind of pulls in that aspect of, you've got to shift your mindset. Your body can do a whole lot, but if your brain's not on board with it, you're going to struggle.
Yes. Everything behind here is very powerful. You've taught me that working through me, see what goes on here in my head.
Yes. And that is just talking about the brain too. Like, that is when people are like, oh, that's just when they find out that I work with mindset and I help coach people through their mindset. That's a lot of woo-woo science, right? Like, it's not real science. It's just a lot of, that's great for you to believe in. But the truth of the matter is that there is actual science behind it. The example that I love to give people about this and what it's called is your reticular activating system. It is a part of your brain that sees the things, takes in that message, accesses other stored information about that thing in your brain, and kind of spits back out this thought. If you don't believe me, then think of a time when you've been hungry and you're watching TV and all that shows up is food commercials. And you're like, what is the TV doing to me? You know, like, you may not even be hungry particularly for Taco Bell, but I guarantee you, you're going to see at least 3 Taco Bell commercials, probably 2 Olive Garden commercials, maybe even a McDonald's commercial thrown in for good measure. And it's because you're focused on food. So your brain is all of a sudden paying more attention to anything that is food related. And so it seems like all you're seeing are food commercials, where the same commercials probably play, but if you're not hungry at the time, you're not noticing them. If you've decided, I really want to have a red Jeep, you will start seeing red Jeeps on the road all over the place. If you are very baby focused, if you're starting a fertility journey, you will notice there's babies everywhere. And that's part of the brain saying, oh, you want to talk about babies? You want to focus on babies? Great. Here, I'll show you all the babies. So there is actual science to your mindset. Your brain can be extremely powerful when it comes to what is happening in your physical life, whether that's physical health or just kind of the outside environment that you live and work in.
Yeah, I'm married to a roofer and I never, ever, ever paid attention to roofs until he points them out. Okay, that roof needs to be redone. That roof, I'm like, so now I do the same thing. I'm like, they have a bad roof. They need to get it redone. But beforehand, I would have never even noticed.
So that is exactly what I kind of start to work with my clients on, is you can have this big goal. And once you start really putting the work in and focusing on it, whether that is your physical health, like you're saying, dreaming big, seeing kind of past the edge of tomorrow, you will start to see that some of this stuff kind of naturally shows up in your environment because your brain is trying to help you say, you want to focus on this? I'm here to help you focus on it. What are we doing? The problem is that when we start telling a negative story or putting a negative spin on it, our brain will also show us all the negative things that can happen. So that's why we have to be able to take charge and look at good things are going to happen. Good things are happening. We have to make that shift for ourselves.
Yeah, that's the key. Changing what you see.
Yes, changing what you see. And changing how you feel about it. So 3 tips that I have, if I can just give these to your listeners, that kind of help, not only, like I said, improve your health, but help you achieve your goals, is that 1, repetition works. repeat a positive thought or phrase to yourself daily. That comes directly from my story where I saw that sign that said good things are going to happen. Part of why it worked is just because of the repetition of it. If you've ever had to memorize a long list, if you've ever just been listening to a song and you want to learn the lyrics, playing that song over and over again, repetition is a big key to helping shift your mindset. But it's about what are you repeating? And sometimes, so to back up at like step one half, if we could, is what are you focusing on? So it is about repeating a good, affirmative, positive phrase or word to yourself. Number two that I would say, and this kind of comes up a lot, because when you start getting into mindset work, a lot of people tend to hear, oh, they just want me to always be positive. And that's kind of turned itself into this idea of toxic positivity, where if you just think positively enough, you can solve all of life's problems, which isn't necessarily untrue. But the flip side of it, it's about feeling all of your feelings. If you feel angry, no one can just come and tell you, like, stop being angry, be happy, be positive, because you aren't feeling it. Your brain won't accept that because it's not true and inherent to you. So my second tip would be to feel all of your feelings at any given moment. You can be frustrated. You can be like I was in that car, absolutely positive that death was imminent. But you have to get into this shift. And this is, again, what I work with a lot, is being able to say that I can feel my feelings. I can be frustrated. I can be angry. I can be really upset that this thing happened to me. But every once in a while, I'll shift out of it. So feel the feelings, but tell yourself too, like, okay, I'm going to put a timer on. I tell my kids this all the time. They hate when I life coach them, as they call it. They're like, mom, just be our mom. But it's, something's frustrating you. They have, my 16-year-old right now is going through tryouts for the school dance team. And she wants to get into this whole like, oh, but what if I don't make it? And what if there's all these other girls? And what if I can't do this trick? And what if? And I say, okay, great. I'm putting a timer on my phone, 10 minutes. We can sit here and go through all the negative what if scenarios. And the second that timer goes off, we flip the script. And it's, what if you do make it? What if you're so good that they want you to be captain? What if you do the best triple leap, rond de jambe, whatever crazy dance things? I'm a dance mom and I still don't know the terms. What if you do it right? So it's allowing yourself to feel the feelings. Don't force positivity. Don't force good things if that's not where you're at. But just take that step to shift out of the negative every once in a while. You can feel negative still and allow it to be a learning experience. Okay, so in 10 minutes or whatever timer you decide to set, how did I feel when I was feeling all those negative feelings? Did that feel good? Was that helpful? Was I coming up with alternative ideas for myself, or was I just wallowing in some anger? So it's feeling those feelings and then starting to shift out of it. And then the third step is, like I said, after that timer goes off, asking yourself a better what if question. Flipping the script for a few minutes at a time really starts to let you use that imagination, use that dreaming that you like to work with on your clients, Kylie, of what if I could solve this problem? What if I didn't have this ailment? What if I didn't have this much pain in my life? What if things turned out for the better? What if allowing myself to spend money and heal this problem means that I get a better job and I'm making more money, and out of that, I'm able to do that big dream that I have? Like, when you let yourself get in a negative spiral of thoughts, your brain can certainly come up with some real scary scenarios. And your brain also has the ability to do the opposite. What if things start going right? What if things start really moving forward for you? Step, 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 step forward. That's where it comes down to. That's all that has to happen. Your goals are totally achievable. You just have to believe they are. That is, my one-on-one clients get tired of hearing that, because that is constantly the message that's being told. Your goals are totally achievable. You just have to believe they are.
Let's talk about this money financial barrier here, because I get told so many times, I want to do your services. I want to change my health. I want to do this. I want to do that, but I don't have the money. Well, that whole back to, yeah, but. That's
yes, yeah, but
because you do have the money, you're already spending it on taking care of your health. I mean, think about this. So my family deductible is $6,000. That's my insurance. We will meet that this year, one, because I had a baby. But everybody else, they're sitting in these chronic illnesses. They're taking Lyrica because once someone told them fibromyalgia is a problem. I mean, they're taking something for their RA. They're taking something for this. And the list goes on and on and on. And when they sit down and they look at how much money they're actually spending on copays and medications and insurance, I mean, it adds up. And so you're already spending it. But it's that whole total mind shift that says, okay, what if I spend it this year? The next 12 months, I spend it on something that can actually help me heal inside and out. Then I can go dream. I can go do those goals. I can go fulfill what I want. I can get the better job. I can get the raise. I can get the promotion. You now are motivated. And you now, like one of my patients we just started working with, she works at a call center. And her dream is to sit in my shoes. She wants to be a functional medicine practitioner. And
that's awesome.
To the point now where when I talked to her, I was like, okay, we need to get labs. We need to do this. We need to do that. And she's like, whatever we have to do, we have to start now. Because I might make a bad decision that will terminate any dream I have in the near future. So she's sitting in a depression state, really trying to work out what's going on between her ears. And she just said, I don't care. Just tell me what I have to do because I want to get from point A to point B. Now, here's the cool part is, and this is what one of you taught me as well. We always start a journey thinking that we're going to go from point A to point B. But what we don't realize is that with the right help, we can get from point A to point X. We just didn't even know X existed.
Yes, exactly. And that's the
that process. Like it's like I'm a completely virtual doctor's office now. 2 years ago, I would have been like, no, I have to have a brick and mortar and I have to have all this overhead. And that's not the case. And I love being virtual, but I didn't even know it was possible until somebody presented me the option.
Yes, absolutely. And that is exactly it. And through that journey, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about the financial part of it. There has always been times, and I know this because we've talked about it, but I also know it because all of my clients go through this. I don't have the money for that. That is a mindset that you are allowing yourself to feel because, and this is one of the biggest examples, when I give this to a client, I said, okay, give me your phone and I'm going to hammer it. I'm going to drop it. I'm going to smash it right now. What are you going to do? Well, besides be mad at me for just breaking your phone, what will you do to replace your phone? Well, I'd go to the store and tell them that mine got broken and whatever. Okay, great. There's a $500 deductible. My program costs $497. There's a $500 deductible on your phone. Okay, I'd put it on a credit card. So you have the money for things that you want, things that are important to you, things that are fitting into your paradigm of the world. It's not that you don't have money. So that is simply a worldview that you have gotten yourself locked into. I don't have money for that. And it's not to say that it's not true. Again, feel your feelings. You may be tightly budgeted. You may be paycheck to paycheck. You may not have a stash of cash sitting somewhere in a closet. Those things can all be true, as much as it can also be true that when you need to find money for something, you find the money for it. You always have money for what's important to you. And even if you don't have it right then, you can be creative. I don't know if you have this problem out in Utah as much as we have it here, like in Chicago area. There's people who sit at every freeway entrance and exit and are just begging. They're panhandling, you know, lost my job. Every little bit helps. Those people, for the most part, because they did like this investigative report, they're making money. They are hustling. They are probably making more money than I make in any given day because they are using their resources. And I'm not suggesting, please don't hear that I'm suggesting go panhandle on the freeway. All I'm saying is that it's very easy for us to get locked into this. I can't make more money. I can't have more money. I can't spend any more money than I'm spending. And the bottom line is those are just a belief that we're telling our brain. You can just as easily tell yourself, I can find the money for this because it's important to me. I can maybe do a couple of side jobs. I can go dog walk for my neighbors, or I can babysit my sister's kids. There is always a way that money can come in. This gets into, I have a course coming on money mindset very soon, but it really is about the fact that where and how we view money is just another part of our mindset. And that can either be negative or positive. You can choose to look at not having any money, meaning the bank account is lower than I'd like it to be, really, because really, truly not having any money is really a kind of a lie. If you have a house, if you have a car, you have money in certain form. You just may not have cash. So tell yourself the truth. I don't have enough cash for that right now. That's different than I don't have money for that right now. Yeah. And it's just a simple, subtle shift in your mindset of what's important to you, because you'll always find a way to get it. Like you said, hitting the $6,000 deductible. If I said on January 1st of 2019 last year, before you were even pregnant with Hallie, you're going to have to spend $6,000 next year on your health. You'd have been like, I don't have that, so I can't. But when the situation presented itself, you find the money, you find the resources. And now it's just, that's what I had to spend on myself to have a healthy birth experience. So for your clients, especially, like you're talking about, it is about, you are spending the money. The money is there. Now, what are you going to choose to do with it? Are you going to choose to find and spend money on something that's important to you, your health, those big dreams, making sure that good things are happening? Or are you going to stay stuck? And that's why I say get out of your own way, because it's ourselves, that mindset of I can't, I don't, I won't. That's you standing in the middle of the road and blockading the semi truck of awesome going through. Step a little bit outside of that rut of I can't, I don't, I won't, and into the awesome green sidewalk path of maybe I can, I will, I want to, I deserve, I'm worthy of. That's just a different mindset shift. And all of a sudden you're out of the way. The semi truck of awesome gets to drive on through and you have a whole new mindset.
Yeah. Now I've covered money. Let's switch it over to the mindset of your health. And how do we get that from where I have a list of 5 diagnoses, or better yet, nobody can even tell me what's wrong with me, which I get more often than not, to my body can heal and I can live the life that I'm designed to live.
Yes. And a large part of that does come down to, what do you think you're worthy of? Do you think that you are only worth being in pain, being undiagnosed, being kind of stuck in your diagnoses? Do you think you're only worth that label? Or do you fully believe that you are worth your own health? Some of this comes down to like years and years of hearing a message about what you are worth as a human. And it's not like someone comes up to you and says like, you're only worth $1,000. You're worth $25,000. It's not a monetary assessment, but it is that, are you worth feeling better? Or is it, have you been told, just go rub some dirt on it, you're going to be fine, type of thing? That is where we determine our worth. Most of that comes in our early years. And again, I work a lot with women, and it is crazy how so many women get this message from very early on. I'm not worth feeling good. I'm not worth spending money on my health. I'm expected to just kind of, you know, man up, except if we're not manning up, we're womaning up, and just keep going. So when it comes to the mindset of your health, what are you worthy of? And what are you willing to accept? Are you willing to accept that a doctor is going to just keep passing you off and giving you more meds? Because if that's what you're accepting, that's exactly what you're going to get. When you are ready to say, as I was with my daughter, I no longer accept this negative Nelly kind of mindset that we're all in this room. I want to say, how can we help her live? How can we help her get to 5th grade? How can we help her get to 6th grade? What are we going to do differently that gives us a different outcome? Because I was no longer willing to accept the doom and gloom. And from that point on, things started to change. That can be the way with anyone. You don't need a doctor to give you your worth. You don't need a diagnosis to give you your worth. That's a big thing that a lot of women, it comes down to. Are you really only getting validation through that diagnosis? Or are you getting validation because of who you are as a person? And that's a deep, hard question to answer. That's a really in your face kind of thing, because I understand that pain is pain. And I understand that there are things that your body does or doesn't do that affect who and how you are. I have seen what the human body is capable of, both in a downward spiral and in an upward trajectory of healing. I have seen the limits of a lot of things just with my own daughter. And I'm here to tell you that in spite of that, because of the mindset that I have worked to instill in Kendall, she does not accept disability as an answer for herself. She does not define herself based on I'm a kid with mito. She is simply a kid who sometimes has to get hooked up to a tube. Sometimes she has to wear oxygen. Sometimes she has to do this, but mostly she likes TikToks and she likes music and she likes hanging out with her friends at the park. She doesn't let her diagnosis define her. And that is a mindset shift that has been, I believe, instrumental in the upward mobility and trajectory of her health.
As well as your help and family.
Absolutely.
Well, anything else we want to wrap up with, Tara?
I think just again, your mindset determines your actions, and it is the framing of your days. Your mindset affects both everything that's happened to you up to this day, and your mindset will affect things that happen in the future. But the biggest thing to remember is that mindset is most powerful right here and right now. What are you going to choose in the right here and right now? You are strong. You are amazing. You are powerful. You are capable in the right here and right now. It's the only time you can take action. I can't run a marathon 5 months ago. I may not be able to run a marathon 5 months from now. And I don't know if I can run one right now because I don't really run, but I can put one foot in front of the other right now and tell you 23 miles from now if I made it. So it's about remembering you are powerful in the right here and right now. What are you going to choose? What mindset are you going to let yourself get into? And where are you going to go with it from here?
That's awesome. I think what we can sum this up with is one thing, and that is you yourself should be your best friend. What are you telling yourself? Because you are your best friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tell yourself really good things and write it on a piece of paper if you can't find a sign in your Home Depot that good things are going to happen, and watch what happens.
Love it. I love it. Well, thank you for joining us, Tara. If you guys want to learn more from Tara, she's got this incredible Facebook group. What is it called, Tara? Give us the deets.
It's called Grow With The Flow. So GROWWITHTHEFLOW, Grow With The Flow on Facebook. Otherwise, you can find me on my blog page where I used to have a blog that I would talk about all this stuff, and it's getting better. My blog page on Facebook is Tara Talking the Blog, TERRATALKING, the blog as one word. And you can get into the group from that page. So I would love to have you join me in August and in September. I'm going to be running a couple of different challenges regarding just 5 or 6 days working on your mindset, working on your money shifts, working on a lot of this stuff. The signup links will be available. They kind of run all the time. It just depends on what day you're starting on. So don't worry if you think you missed the date because of whenever you're listening to this episode. There's always a time to jump in and get started working on your mindset. Those are totally free, and I'd love to have you join me to see if we can help you shift your mindset and start feeling a lot better.
And guys, I have sent patients over to her Facebook group. It's that good to help with that mental mindset shift. So be sure you join her at Grow With The Flow on the Facebook group. Then come over and join mine at Tribe of Dreamers. I think it's actually go to Dr. Kylie Burton, and then you can get the group page from there. But yeah, that's two awesome, incredible resources. That one, I'll help you change your health by changing the way you think about your health. And then Tara will help you with stuff between the ears because you are your best friend. So make sure you tell yourself the right things. You wouldn't ever tell your best friend something ugly. So stop telling
yourself
that. All right. Once again, Tara, thank you so much. We've loved this.
Thank you so much.
Be sure you come join Tara and many other health experts on the 10-day summit starting August 17th. It is a summit you're not going to want to miss. I promise. Get inside for 50% off if you're within the first 100 registrants with code Beyond the Diagnosis 50, all lowercase. There's going to be everything from the thyroid to anxiety and depression, the mind-body connection, a lot of stuff that you're not going to want to miss. Come join me inside. The link to register is below, and I'll see you there.